Okay. Am I muted? Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Is it 10:30 now? I think it is.
It is.
Okay, this week is Parshas Ki Tzeitse. It also happens to be Parshas Zohar. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that if somebody missed hearing Parshas Zohar on the Shabbos before Purim, he can be yotze by paying attention to the Kriya this week. Zechiras HaMolek. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, he's mesupik. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk, the Parsha Zohar has to be mitoch haksav. You have to lain mitoch haksav. So the Sefer HaChinuch is not sure. Does it mean once in a lifetime you have to fulfill this mitzvah, or once every couple of years? Or maybe the way the Chachamim were mesaken the Shabbos before Purim, that's only with the Rabbana. Maybe the mitzvah deraisa can be fulfilled, has to be fulfilled once a year, every year. That's famous from the Chasam Sefer and the Tshuvas. He suggests that Zohar means you shouldn't forget. And the Gemara says that the Shir Shikha, people usually forget at the end of the year. That's why, let's say, when someone is, somebody passes away and he's buried, so the minig is that you put up, the minig in Chutz Lord says that you put up a matzeva at the end of the year. Some have the minig you put up the matzeva right before the year is up, before the yahrzeit, because the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh, so you don't want to forget the person. The matzeva is to remember him. And some have the minig that Rabbi Kivega on Yeridea quotes the two minhagim, that some have the minig wait till after the yahrzeit. After the year is up, you forgot the nifter already, so then you want to bring him back to mind. So you put up a matzeva and you remember. So we usually assume that the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says, that if the Shir is Yud Beis Chodesh, if you have a Shana Mu'uberes, and you just hear Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, and next year the Shabbos before Purim is going to be more than 12 months, it's going to be 13 months later. So that's why the Chasam Sofer says that if you have a Shana Mu'uberes, you should have a mind to be Yotzei on the Shabbos Parshas Ki Tzeitse. But this Shabbos is not only Parsha Zohar for Zechiras HaMolek, it's Zechiras Chet Miriam as well. The Magen Avram, when he talks about the Bruch of Abba Rabba, the Brichos Kriyashma, quotes the Yalchut Shemayni, that there's a mitzvah in our Torah to remember Chet Miriam. That's in today's Sedra. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes, he thinks that's one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, Zechiras Chet Miriam. And so that the Magen Avraham asks, how come we don't make a special Shabbos with a special Haftorah, and the Gabbai should make an announcement, everybody should have a mind to be Yotzi with the Brochas and with the Kriya, how come we don't make a Hotzim? It's about it. So he says it's a Ganai, it's a Busha to Miriam, we should make a whole big fuss about it. But on Shabbos, Pashas Kiseitze, the Balkari should have a mind, and all the people in the Shul should have a mind to be Yotzi with the Zechiras Chet Miriam, from listening to the parasha. What exactly are you supposed to remember about the Chet Miriam? So the Chofetz Chaim published during his lifetime quite a few svarim, little svarim. One of them is Zocha LeMiriam. It's all about Lashon Hara. We should remember that Miriam was punished because she spoke Lashon Hara against her brother. Even though she loved her brother, she didn't mean anything bad about him. She meant to straighten him out, but still, because she said Lashon Hara, so that's why she was punished with the tzaras. The Gemara has in the end of Erevin, the Gemara learns that from Chumash, that achoshed b'kshem loike b'gufay, that if a person is choshed, here Miriam is choshed, that her brother Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baal Gaiva. Who does he think he is, that he had to be Pirish Menu Isha? I'm a Novi, and my brother Aaron is a Novi. We didn't have to separate from our spouses. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that he's greater than us? He didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a Mikol Adam. Is more humble than everybody else. She didn't realize he was on a much higher level of nevuah. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim says, that the Pashup Shat and the Pasik perhaps is the Chiras Chet Miriam, to remember the prohibition of Lashon Hara and to remember that one who speaks Lashon Hara runs a risk of being punished like a begufa, to be punished with tzaras or some other punishment begufa. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over what Rav Kook has in his Siddur, at the end of Shachris and a lot of Sidurim, they list off the Sheish Zechiris. So Zechiris Chet Miriam is one of the Sheish Zechiris. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, Lashon Hara is a terrible Avera, It's a very serious aver, but to say that it's one of the Sheish Schiris, it's so important that you have to say it every day. Recite it every day is hard to believe. So Rav Kook has a different suggestion. And maybe Zechiris Chet Miriam is to remember that this is one of the Ikari Hamuna. Lashon Hara is not from the Ikari Hamuna. It's a serious aver. But Zechiris Chet Miriam is from the Ikari Hamuna, that to remember, not only did we believe in Nevuah, but we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim. Adon HaNevim means that his Nevuah is on a higher level than that of the other Nevim. And that is crucial because the Christians claim that Yoshke came and he changed all the laws. And the Muslims claim that Muhammad was a prophet and he came and he changed all the laws. He had a prophecy. We believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevim and whatever he says is binding Lidurus. And no later Navi can reverse anything that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Towards the beginning of Parshas Kisetze, it begins with the whole story of the Yefas Torah. The one who has the best essays on Yefas Torah is Rabbi Menachem Zember. Menachem Zember was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. And he had a correspondence with the son-in-law of the Or Sameach, Rabbi Ram Luftbier, who died without any children. The Or Sameach only had one daughter, and she married this businessman. He was a very learned businessman, Avram Luftbier. And she died, and he died without having any children. So Rabbi Nachum Zemer published the Sefer. He called it Zer Avraham. It should be Bimkoim, in the place of the children that Rabbi Avram Luftbier never had. So this Rabbi Avram Luftbier was very strong in learning, even though he was a businessman. And every so often he quotes something from his father-in-law that no one else had access to from the Or Sameach. But this Rabbi Menachem Zember, he's really strong. He's unbelievable. He was a goyin agoyim. He was also a businessman. He was there in Poland before the war. They had a whole group of businessmen who knew Bavli Yerushalmi. They knew everything. Unbelievable. So he has a lot of wonderful essays about the dinim of Yefas Torah. The second parasha has Kisiyena li shtei nashim. There's a half a minute to think that maybe even though the snua had the bechor, maybe the bechor shouldn't be entitled to pishnayim. Just because the father didn't have shalom bayis with the mother, why should the bechor not be entitled to pishnayim? What kind of a silly half a minute is that? So the Gemara understands that ahuva in snua doesn't mean whether the husband got along well with the wife or not. It means snua b'nisueho lefnei hamokam, ahuva lefnei hamokam b'nisueho. One marriage was beheta, one marriage was beitzer. So there, there's a havamein. One would have thought that if the b'chor was born to the wife who was married beitzer with the husband, maybe the b'chor should not be entitled to the pishnayim. So that's what the pasuk tells me. Lo yuchal avakeh es ben ahuva al pnei barasnua. Even though the b'chor was born to the snua b'nisuel, it was a prohibited marriage. Still, the b'chor is still entitled to pishnayim. And the Gemara has a comment on this pasuk. Sehiena means havaya, means tvisas kiddushin. Like it says, v'holcha v'hoysa le'ish acher. And today said, v'holcha v'hoysa le'ish acher means she goes to marry someone else. Havaya means tvisas kiddushin. So the pasuk is telling us, derech agav, that kiddushin atofsin be'isha ho asura. Kisehiena le'ish tei noshin. Kiseyena li shtei noshim means that, let me close the door. Kiseyena li ish means that kiddushin atofsin by both wives, even the woman who has asura. And then Igmar has other psukim to teach that if a man is mekadosh chavikrisus, man is mekadosh an eshesish or isha, bito, imo, something like that, en kiddushin tofsin. So the Gemara has a machloikes abai v'rav in the beginning of Tmura. What's the din milsa dam rachman lo sabit? If the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, do you say yovid lo mehani or yovid mehani? The person went ahead. And he's Mekadosh and Isha Ho Asura. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry that woman. You go ahead and you do marry her. So the Torah said you have no right to do that. So does that mean you have no right to do it so it's not Chal? You're not a Balabas to do that so the Kiddushin are not Chal? They say no. It wouldn't be considered an Avera if you would say it's not chal. So it must be milsa dam rachman alay sabid. It must be yavid mahani. You have to say that it does create a chalos. Otherwise, it does make sense that it should be an iser. So that's a machlokes abay v'rav in the beginning of Tmurit. In general, milsa dam rachman alay sabid yavid mahani yavid le mahani. So Rabbi Chana Vasserman explains in his Sefer on Yevamos that the root of the machlokes is that you have these two psukim. On the one hand, you have kisiyena liyishtei nashim achas nua snua b'nisoehu alifnei amokim. She's married by Yisr and still kisiyena. The havai is chal. Then you have the other psukim that say that kiddushan anatovsin bechadi krisis. So that's the machlokes abay v'rabu. Which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? That's what learning is all about. Learning, when you learn Gemara with Tosfos with Rishonim, that's what learning is all about. That there are Gemaras that seem to be contradictory. On the one hand, here it says it's Asa, here it says Mutter. So the question is, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? And how do you formulate the rule? How do you formulate the exception to the rule? So this is a Machlokes Abay V'Rabba. Here you have a steer between the two psukim. Yeah, the Torah has an interesting expression. When the father is about to give over the Yerusha to the children. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah, Bava Basadav, Kuf Lamed, Amel Aleph, quotes, Abichem and Broker, what do you mean, Biyom Hanchil Azban? Malach HaMavis comes and he takes someone's life, and the guy drops dead, right? And then the children, Yarshim, what do you mean, Hanchil Azban? What? A person commits suicide. He's not Manchil Azban. He dies in the Mela, the money goes be Yerusha. So Rabbi Yechem Abrekha says, you see, from the Pasuk HaTorah, Nostam Rishus, Lav, Lahan, Chalachon, Misha, Yirtzim. Torah gives the father, whoever the manchil is, Uncle Sam, you have a rich Uncle Sam who dies, so the money goes be rushed to his relatives, whoever. So the one who is about to die has the right to alter the proportions of the Yerusha a little bit, whoever is in line to get Yerusha. Let's say a person has four sons and one is a bchor. So instead of dividing the Yerusha into four parts, each one getting 25%, the Torah says you have to divide it into five parts, and the Bechor gets like two shares. It doesn't mean the conservatives misinterpreted Pshat and the Pasuk, that the Pishnai means that the Bechor gets two-thirds. The person has 10 sons, so the Bechor gets two-thirds, and the remaining one-third is divided among the nine sons. And then they say, and the rabbis in the later generation changed it because they saw that it's not fair. God's laws are not fair. So therefore, just like the rabbis changed God's laws, so we can also change the laws. We're also rabbis. So just like the rabbis in the days of the Talmud changed the laws. So that's not true. How did they come to this conclusion that Pishnai means two-thirds? And it was changed by the rabbis because when Eliyahu HaNavi was walking with Elisha before he went up in the fiery chariot to heaven, so Eliyahu HaNavi tells me he's gonna disappear. He's gonna disappear from the face of the earth. So Elisha requests of him, can you give him a bracha that he should get pishnayim biruchacha? So what is he asking? A double koach hanavuah, twice as strong koach hanavuah as Eliyahu HaNavi. That's chutzpah. So obviously he's only asking for pishnayim two thirds. So just like over there, pishnayim and sefer melacha means two thirds. Over here also means two thirds. So the Chazal understood not so. The Gemara understands that Elisha Navi had, in a certain sense, twice the Koach HaNevuah of Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi is only Mechaya one mace, and Elisha Navi was Mechaya two mace. So the Gemara understood that the Pishnai means doesn't mean two thirds; it means two shares. So let's say a person has four sons, instead of dividing the Yerusha into four parts and each son getting an equal share, he divided it into five shares, and the Bechor gets two-fifths, 40%, and each one of the other brothers gets one-fifth, gets 20%. So the Torah says, HaTorah Nashtam Shuvus La'av Lahan Chalachom Mishayirtze. If he has, let's say, he has a few children, each one is supposed to get 20%. Let's say each one is supposed to get 20% of the Yerusha, and one of them is very successful in the business. He doesn't need the whole thing. So the father doesn't want to cut him out from the Yerusha as if he doesn't like him, but he doesn't need so much money. So let's say maybe it's not a smart thing to do. Maybe the son will never forgive the father why he took away part of his Yerusha, even though he's a multimillionaire. But let's say the father says, whether it's right or wrong, let's say the father says, I want this son to get 30%, and this son to get 30%, and this son only to get 5%, and he divides the rest. Really, the one who got the one who got 30 and 30, each one should have really gotten 20 and 20. So if he says, he says on the children, they're all in line to get something. So he says he should get a bigger percentage than what he's entitled to. So that's a din of a tzavor. That's a din deraisa. The Torah gives the father the right. That's the Mishnah Baba Basa, Rabbi Yechem Abroika, quoted by the Mishnah Baba Basa, Kuf Laman and Manalef. A Torah nastam shus la'av lahan chalachon mishayurtza. That's why it says, B'yom hanchilo esbana beis hashi'alo. The father has the right to alter the percentages of the Yerusha a little bit. If the father has sons and daughters, the daughters are not in line to get any Yerusha. If they're only daughters, then the daughters get. But if they're sons and daughters, only the sons get, the daughters don't get. So the father cannot make a tzavua based on this pasuk. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have a different etzah, how to give a share to the daughters. And then the Gemara has a suffix with this din of Rabbi Yechem and Broika. Does it only apply when the father is a shchid meira? There's a din with the rabbanim. There is shchid meira kiksuv v'mchimsur endomim. That's only with the rabbanim. In our Torah, there is no such din. But the Gemara is mesupik. Maybe the concept of shchid meira, that it plays a role. Shchid meira means a person who's sick in bed. He may pull through. He's not dead, deathly sick. He's sick in bed to the extent that he has to lay in bed. Because that person has the flu, or he has pneumonia, so he has to lay in bed. That's a shchid meira. A gosis is a person in whom the process of death has already begun to take effect. That's how the Rambam defines in Perek Aleph and Pirush HaMishnayos and Aholos. Talich HaMavis. Those who don't know Arabic use the Hebrew translation and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Hebrew translation. It refers to the Talich HaMavis, the process of death. So that's a gosis. There are certain dinim deraisa that depend on gosis. But this, the Gemara is mesupik, whether the father's right to alter the proportions of the Yerusha only apply in a situation where the father made the tzavom and he's a shchimera, or even before. So lemaisa, we say, hamoytze machaveh olav harayah. So the one whom the father gave, let's say the father made a tzavom at the age of 50, and he puts it away, and then he dies at the age of 120. So that's a sveika d'dina, whether the one who was zeichet to the extra amount is entitled to it or not. So he said, Misafik, Hamotz Mechaveh Olav Haraya. All the other Yarshim who are entitled to get a bigger share, and the father wanted to give a bigger share to this one, the one whom he chose. So we say, all the others are considered Mechzokim. And this Parsha, there's a famous comment that's attributed to the Vilna Goyen, which they say is not true. The pasuk says, both wives have children. Ahuva has a child, then the snua has a child. Then it says, "V'hoya ben apchor lasnia." How is that possible? If it says, the ahuva had the baby first, after the snua had the baby, how can it be that the snua's baby is the pchor? So they say the name of the Vilna Goyen, and the case that we're talking about is the snua became pregnant earlier. But when it came to the birth, the giving birth, so the ahuva gave birth first. So they quoted the name of the Vilna Goyen that since the pregnancy of the snua took place first, so that's why that child is entitled to pishnai. So this is against the din. This is not true. So the Dayanim in Vilna, after someone publicized this chidush, after the Vilna Goyen passed away, so people were afraid that all of his beautiful chidush and Torah will be lost to posterity. So they started to print every Torah. So they printed this one. So the Dayanim in Vilna put out a kol kari, a cruise that they hung up in the different shuls in Vilna, that this is not correct. It's against the din. The pchor depends who was born first, doesn't depend whose pregnancy came first. And no one should print anything in the name of the Vilna Goyen without the authorization of the Bezdin to make sure that it's accurate. Unfortunately, in every generation, that's what happens. People are printing things in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that are absolutely inaccurate, against Pesukim and Chumash, against Mishnayos, against the Gemaras. People thought that they were the star students of Rabbi Soloveitchik and they understood. They didn't know Chumash. How can they understand Rabbi Soloveitchik? Yeah, then you have a parsha in the Chumash, which is a big issue. Ben Sor Amora, the Gemara in Perek Ben Sor Amora, that's a Perek in the end of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara quotes one Tana is of the opinion that the conditions for Ben Sor Amora are so far-fetched, it's highly unlikely that it ever happened. The parsha requires that in order to become a ben saramara, father and the mother have to have the same facial features and the same height and the same voice. Either the father has a woman's voice, or the mother has a man's voice, which is probably a siman that they can't have children. So how can it be? How can it be that they're so similar? And how can it be parents will bring their child to Bezin to give him the death penalty? The whole thing is so far-fetched. So one Tana says, Elohai v'lasid lias. And the other Tana says, no, I was once in a cemetery and they showed me this is the cemetery, this is the place where the Ben Sarah Mora was buried. And the Gemara has such a machlokes also on the same daf in Perek Ben Sarah Mora with respect to Ir and Idachas and respect to Bais HaManuga, Tzara'as Batim. One Tana says, there never was and there never will be an Ir and Idachas. How can you visualize a city in Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't even have one mezuzah. The Gemara says, you have to burn everything, Saraftis, Kol Hu'ir, you have to burn everything in the city, and if there's one mezuzah in the city, so that's matzah on the whole, doesn't have a din of Erin Idachas. Whoever worships David Zohar will be given the skila, but it won't have a din of Erin Idachas to burn down the whole city and to give everybody sayif instead of skila. So that's why one Tana claims there never was and there never will be an Erin Idachas. It's too unlikely. Unfortunately, there are still cities in Eretz Yisrael that were established before 1948 that still don't have one mezuzah. But the Tanoim couldn't visualize such a thing. We live in a generation after the Haskalah movement and so much apikursis and atheism and reform and everything. So now there are cities in Eretz Yisrael that slowly, slowly that's changing also. There are organizations where they send B'nai Torah to move into those cities and they put one mezuzah on. Then once a year they make a minyan on Yom Kippur, then they make on Purim. Slowly, slowly things are straightening out. But these are the three mitzvahs that there was a dispute in the days of the Tanoim. Is it possible? Are these three mitzvahs feasible or not? Yeah, well, it doesn't make sense. Why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam give such a mitzvah if the Chumash is a collection of dinim? So why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam put in a din? He knows what's in store in the future. Why did he put in a din that's so unlikely, so improbable? Every state has a state constitution in the United States, and every couple of years there's a constitutional convention. They have to update the constitution. So the laws were written in the 1700s and early 1800s, and they used to have horses with wagons, all kinds of things. So now a lot of those laws are irrelevant, so they take them out and they put in other laws instead. But the Rabbanu Shel Olam made a chumash, and he put in dinim that never were and never will be. So why was it written? That's a question. So that's what the Baal HaTanya explains, that the Torah is a description of Elokus, Derech Moshel. Torah is referred to as the Moshel HaKadmoni. And most of the dinim, tzitzis and tefillin, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha represent certain aspects of Elokus. And then there are certain aspects of Elokus that never don't lend themselves to be acted out in Maaseh HaMitzvah. So these were necessary, these three, even if you say that there are one or two or three mitzvahs that never were and never will be. What do you mean, Rosh V'Kabal Schar? We learned the dinim. What do you mean, Rosh V'Kabal Schar? The Dafyami people takes them 7.5 years to make a Siman Shas. So how much is there already? Irani Dachas is in Gansan, three blood gemar in the end of Sanhedrin. And Tzara'as Batim is maybe two prokem and mishnayis, very little, two prokem and mishnayis. And Mansorah Moreh, is the whole Perek Mitzvah Mer is only around 5 plot, and half of it is not, half of it is bad. You heard by Yavar. So the Daf Yomi people will finish a week earlier than otherwise, 2 weeks earlier than otherwise. What do you need? What do you mean, Rosh V'Kal Baschas? So that's what the Baal HaTanya says. It means that these mitzvahs represent certain aspects of Elokus, which don't lend themselves to be acted out in a Maisa Mitzvah, but still, it's necessary for the Shleimus, for the completion of the image of Elokus. Then the Torah has a din. Torah has a din of if a person was given a death penalty by Bezdin, Haruge Bezdin have a mitzvah of kvura. Kavatik berena b'yom ahu. You have to bury the person the same day. The Gemara learns out from the Kefa Lashon kavatik berenu. The Gemara has a machlokes Hatanaim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, where the Dibur Torah Kedusha and the Adam, Allah Dibur Torah Kedusha and the Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter. Sometimes the Gemara is medayik from a din, from an extra word, from an extra letter, from a missing letter. So we believe the whole Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. So there's a machlokes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash. Did he dictate it in such a way that every letter counts? That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. People who speak usually repeat themselves. They leave out words. They add on words. People are not so careful when they speak. So Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion, you can't be medayik anything from Lashonis Kfulim. And we have accepted the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. If you have Lashonis Kfulim, whenever you have a kevel lashon, it means something. So the Gemara darshins kovetig berenu, that not only haruge bezdin need kvura, even shar meisim also. A person dies, he wasn't put to death by the bezdin. There's a mitzvah of kvura, and there's a mitzvah of kvura biosayom kovetig berenu biyamahu. Unless elinei lechvodo, if they left over the mace to the next day, usually that's our practice. Usually someone dies, so we call up all the relatives and all the friends. We have telephones, and people have a way to travel quickly. So people come from Arba Kamfas Haaretz to attend the funeral. Years ago, so then the Mishnah said that's permissible. Helinei lechvoda. If you mail in the mace, the kavan mace, to have more people attend the funeral, so then it's mutter. Some of the Achrayim Abadim with the kasha, there's a din in the Chumash, the Sachfal Beged Almona. That if you lend money to all our money, you're not permitted to take a mashkan of a beged. And the Gemara explains the reason why you're not allowed to take a mashkan, because the almana probably needs money. She's a poor woman. Her husband died. He's the one who made the parnasa. So the din in the chumash is if the person gave you a ksus laila as a mashkin, and person needs the ksus laila when he goes to sleep, he needs the pajamas, you have to give him back the pajamas before he goes to sleep. But then you have a right to take something else that he does need. So let's say the almana has one ksus laila and one ksus yom. So all day long, the almana has a job or whatever. She's trying to make some money. So she gives you the mashkin, the ksus laila. Then she wants to go to sleep at 12 o'clock at night. So she calls up on the phone, the malva. She says she needs her pajamas. So the malva says, well, I want you to give me another mashkin. So she says she doesn't really have too much. She's not wealthy, so she'll have to give him her ksus yom. So he'll go to the almana's home, and he'll stand outside. He'll ring the bell, and then she'll take off her dress. She'll be standing on the other side of the door, take off her dress, and he'll give in through the crack in the door. He'll give her the pajamas, and she'll give him the dress. He'll walk home 12 o'clock at night with the almana's dress. Then she'll call him up in the morning. She needs the ksus yom to go get dressed to go to work today. So he says, but I want a mashkin. So he says, I'll give you a mak to ksus laila. So he'll come 7:30 in the morning, knock on her door, ring the doorbell, and give her her dress, and she'll be standing undressed behind the door and give him her pajamas. So the Gemara said, what are the neighbors going to say? What's going on over here? The wealthy man, every morning, every night, is going with pajamas and with a dress. He must be having an affair with the woman. He must be giving her money in order to have an affair with the woman. But what if the woman is an almana ashira? What if it's Mrs. Gimbel's and Mrs. Macy's? And she's giving beged almana. She has 5,000 dresses on racks. She's going to give begodim as a mashkin for the halvoy. So is that also prohibited? Maybe it's only since the whole reason. Obviously, the reason why you're not allowed to take a ksus, a sachvo beged almana, you're not allowed to take as a mashkin. Chavola means a mashkin. You're not allowed to take as a mashkin beged almana is because she's poor and atamasiya shem rabish chenaseho. But if she's an almana hashira, and this is not going to happen, so maybe then it's muta. So that was a big machlekes between Reb Shimon bar Yochai and Chacham. So Reb Shimon is of the opinion, the author of the Zohar. So his opinion is that shinan time of the kro, that the reason for the mitzvahs from the midrash haTorah and the Drash is behem, and that can regulate the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, then the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So if she's an almana hashira, then memashkin emosa, then it is permissible to take the beged as a mashkin. We don't paskin like Reb Shimon. We paskin that loydashi in the time of the kro, that to try to figure out the reasons, tamei hamitzvah, this is a chelik of Talmud Torah. You have to try to figure out what are all the details of the mitzvahs and what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by having given us this mitzvah. But that's a chelik of Talmud Torah. The Gemara talks about how come a ganav pays kefal and a gazlan does not pay kefal? And how come shor v'seh? How come chamisha b'okeh sham tachas hashor v'abetzon tachas haseh? Why this and why that? All the Rishonim give. The Rambam gives tamei hamitzvos and the Mor Nebuchim and the Sefer Achinach and Chassidish Svarim. Everyone gives tamei hamitzvos. But tamei hamitzvos, that's not for midrash haTorah and Drashas. We pass like the Chachamim against Reb Shimon that Tamei HaMitzvahs do not regulate the application of the mitzvah. So here, some of the Achrayim are bothered with the kasha. How come the Mishnah says, Helineu lechvodo, if the person postpones the funeral, the person dies on one day, and then the children postpone the levaya till the next day in order to get more people to attend the funeral? So this is not a violation of Lord Dashin at time of the Kro. We're giving the reason for the mitzvah of Halonas Ameis is Mishum Kaban Ameis, not to cause Bizayin Ameis. The longer the body's going to be out and not be buried, so it's going to decompose, it's going to smell, there's going to be a Bizayin to the Ameis. So we should hurry up. But if we postpone the Kvura, the Chvod Ameis, then it is permissible. So isn't that a violation of the Psak Halacha, Lord Dashin at time of the Kro? So the Achrayim answer, no, it's not a Kasha. That's not a Kasha. Whenever the Chumash gives the reason, here it says beferish, the reason why covered the Gvarenu, ki kidla selakim taloi. It gives the reason why, because B'nai Yisrael are created, all human beings are B'tzelem Elokim, but B'nai Yisrael have more than B'tzelem Elokim, they're B'nim Lamokim. So it's that's why there's a mitzvah covered Abrius. There's a mitzvah covered Abrius to non-Jews and to Jews. By Jews it's even more covered Abrius because we even have more than B'tzelem Elokim, we have B'nim Lamokim. It's a deeper degree of B'tzelem Elokim. So since the Torah gives the reason for the mitzvah, so then the Chumash says the reason. The only time there's machlekes of Shimon HaChachamim, whether there's Shina time the Kroah, is if the Chumash doesn't give the time. But if the Chumash gives the mitzvah and gives the reason why next to the mitzvah, then the Gemara says in the second parak on Sanhedrin that even a Chachamim, the Reb Shimon will say, Dashina time the Kroah. So that's not a kasha. There's the famous Ramban on this pasuk. V'losa tamei asad moscha, we should bury the mace on the same day. V'losa tamei asad moscha. So the Ramban quotes that the mitzvah of kvura only applies to Meisei Yisrael. A Meisei Akum, there is no chi of kvura, except in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, it says in Sefer Yeshua, when they killed the Lamed Aleph Malachim, they hung them up, they did Taliyah, and then it says, and they took them down and buried them to fulfill the pasuk that says in the Chumash that you have to bury the person the same day. So the Ramban asks, but the mitzvah of kvura only applies to Meisei Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Meisei Nochrim. So the answer is, in Eretz Yisrael, it does apply. That's why there is a problem. How can you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael where they have cadavers? You're not supposed to leave around a cadaver. So that's now they're starting to have all of this, the study of biology for the medical students is done online. It's they're cutting out in a lot of medical schools, they're cutting out the cadavers. But they're really in Eretz Yisrael, that's a problem. Yeah, this pasuk kavatik brena, we darshan, the kefa loshan, it goes on a regular mace also. A person died a natural death. So that the Lecha Mishnah points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ram Daf Mem Vav, has two brises, one after the other, word for word, exactly the same, that the din of kvura, the mitzvah kvura, applies to all maceim, not only to Harugi Bezin. So it's not to be understood. Why does the Gemara quote two brises that are exactly word for word the same? So the Lecha Mishnah points out that there's one slight difference between the two. One brisa says, remez l'kvura min haTorah minayin. One brisa calls it a remez. And remez, ruba de ruba, remez usually means that it's only a din mid rabbanan, and the Lashon is only an asmachta. So the Lecha Mishnah points out that this is a machlekes hatanayim. It depends whether you darshan the Shon is kvulim or not. If you're all like Rabbi Yishmael, that dibra Torah k'lishan meriyadim, then you don't darshan the Shon is kvulim. So the fact that you have a kefa loshen, kavatik berenu, and you say that it's marbi even shar nesim, a person dies a natural death, that's only going to be an asmachtam in the Rabbanan. And the Raman Paskin is the other way. The Raman Paskin is like Rabbi Kiva. The brises don't say Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. The two brises are exactly the same word for word. The only difference is that one of the two brises, tatsua remez l'kvura min haTorah minayin, and the other brise says, kvura min haTorah minayin. Leaves out the word remez. So the Lecha Mishnah says, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes this Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah answers a certain kasha on the Rambam, why the Rambam not misquoted a Gemara. So he says, no, the Gemara goes according to the opinion, the way the Lecha Mishnah pointed out, that Gemara is going with the opinion that Kvura B'Sham Meisim is only Midi Rabbana. And because the Rambam paskens Kvura is Min HaTorah, even B'Sham Meisim, because we pask like Rav Akiva, lo tibetok l'shan b'yadim, so it's a legitimate drasha, l'shan is Kvulim. So that's why the Rambam modified what it said in the Gemara. So that's, we assume that Kvura B'Sham Meisim is their Raisa, but Kvura by Harugi Bezdin is still different. It is still different. The Gemara says that the Harugi Bezdin the saif with which we killed him. You have to bury the saif. Imo bitfusasoi, the tfisas hameis, atfusas hameis, the two girsas in the Mishnah. Tfisas hameis is dalaramas around the mace. That's a din min haTorah. There's a din min the Rabbanan that if a person walks within dalaramas of a mace, he's already metame, because he may not realize that he may stretch his hand out over the mace and become tame tumas ohel, he's mahil on the mace, without even realizing it. So they made a din min haRabbanan that if you're within dalaramas of the mace, it's already metame. Mele kohen is not allowed to come within dalaramas of the mace, unless the mace is behind the window, unless the mace is in a different building. The mace is inside, and I'm standing outside in front of the building, but I can't stretch my hand out because there's a wall separating, there's a window separating between me and the mace. So then the din haRabbanan does not apply. That's the last daf of Masechet Sota. But normally there's a din of tfisas hameis that is metame, called dalaramas around it. That's midi rabbanan, but the concept of tfisas hameis is a concept deraisa. Called the dikan rabbanan came deraisa dikan. On the level of deraisa, there is a din of tfisas hameis. It's suder, a person who was put to death by the bezin by giving chenek. So the suder shenechnak bo is buried within the dalaramas, and the saif with which he was, they cut off his neck. If they gave him a saif, then the saif is, you never use it twice. Bezin only uses it once, and they're supposed to bury it toch dalaramas of the mace. So that shows that the kvura by Harugi Bezin plays a separate role, separate din, not the same as the regular din of kvura by the shameis. Then the Torah has a din of Ashavas Aveda. And simple reading of the pasuk is, you're not allowed to ignore the fact that someone lost an aveda. Make believe you didn't see it. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. That's the Pshuto Shal Mikra. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. That's the opposite from the Pshuto Shal Mikra, that sometimes you have the right to ignore the aveda. When is that? So the Gemara says, if it's a kohen, I'm a kohen. Let's say the car in front of me says Daf Yomi license. Obviously, it's a Jewish person who learns Daf Yomi, or he thinks about Daf Yomi, whatever. So he has some luggage on top of his car, and the luggage fell off, and it fell into a cemetery, and I'm driving behind him, and I'm a kohen. So I honk, I try to convey to the person that he lost his Aveda, and he's speeding ahead. I can't get him to stop. But I write down the license plate, and I can go pick up the Aveda in the Beis HaKvara. So the Halacha says you're not allowed to, even though we have a Klal Esed Dechal Isese. But over here, by Yoshavas Aveda, the Gemara in Bava Metzia has the expression, Midachina Isura Nikami Mamoina. Mamoina means a mitzvah Shabiradam Machaveira. Isura means a mitzvah Shabiradam Lamokam. So the din is Esed Dechal Isese, yes. And Esed Bin Adam Lamokam is Dechal Isese Bin Adam Lamokam. Sometimes, not always, there are rules and regulations. But an essay should be not a machaveirai, like Hashavas Aveda, is not doicha lo isese bin adam lamok. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Midachina ni sura mikami mamoina. He can't, a mamoina mitzvah sesev should be not a machaveirai, is not doicha lo isese should be not a lamok. Why not? So the Ramban explains why not. Because the whole chiv Hashavas Aveda, whenever there's a mitzvah, bin adam machaveirai, so the din is we have to, the reachad kamoicha, have to treat other people as if their needs would be my needs. So let's say the kohen himself was driving in his car and his luggage fell into the Beis HaKvaros. I'm the kohen. Would I be allowed to be metame myself in the Beis HaKvaros in order to retrieve my own Aveda? No, I'm not allowed to. So I have to treat the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda and all the mitzvah Shemirat Machaveirah means I have to treat other people's needs as if they would be my needs. If it would have been my own need, he wouldn't say that I'm allowed to be metame the mace. So if it's someone else's aveda, it can be mochamen and taking care of my own aveda. So the Gemara says, so you really don't need a pasuk to tell you hisalamta, that essay of Hashavas aveda is not decha de los essay of tumas kahanim. So when do you need the pasuk hisalamta? The Gemara says it tells you that if it's a zaken deina lefi chvodo, the Rishonim have a machlekes. What does it mean zaken? Zaken means an elderly individual. Zaken means a talmid chacham. So whatever it means that kavod habrius, if it's let's say a woman's piece of underwear I found a woman's piece of underwear in the street, and if it would be my own wife's underwear, I don't have any pockets to put it in, let's say. I'm walking like this in the street. So if it would be my own wife's underwear, I wouldn't walk like this. I'd be embarrassed to walk like this in the street with the woman's underwear. So then if it's someone else's underwear, I'm not mechuyev. If b'shalo eino machzeh b'shal chaver eino meishiv, I'm not mechuyev to do for other people. I'm mechuyev to take care of other people's needs, as if it would consider it as if it would have been my own needs, but I'm not mechuyev to do more than my own. If it would have been my own aved, I wouldn't have bothered to give it back. So that's really a question. Why do you need a pasuk for that? That I would have also, just like I would know ein esedecha lo isesei, that midachin and isurim mekamei mamayna. Why? Because the whole nature of the mitzvah of Adma Chavera is to take care of the other person's needs. So if it would have been my own need, no. So if it's mishum kavod abrius, and it's such an aveda, that if it would have been my own aveda, I wouldn't have picked it up. I would be embarrassed. So I shouldn't be mechuyev. So it's a question. It's a question. Why do you need a pasuk for that? But that's what the Gemara says. This pasuk for salamta tells you the kavod abrius is doicha the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf has a whole sugi about Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius is Deiche Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, but it's not Deiche Anisa Ben Adam L'Mokim. There are rules and regulations when Kavod Abrius plays a role and when not, and Halacha L'Maisa Shailas also, to what extent do we consider Kavod Abrius? Then the Torah says you have to give back the Aveda. If you don't know whose aveda it is, you don't know who the other or who the owner is. So you should take vasavta toch pesach. You should pick up the aveda. You hold on to it until you put up signs all over that you found a sweater. You don't say what color. You don't say what make. You don't say a man's sweater, woman's sweater. You don't write the details. Or you found a watch. You don't say all the details. You say you found a watch. Who's going to give the simonim? So that's what the Gemara understands. Adrosh achicha also. Pashab shat is until someone comes and he says, oh, you put up a sign that you found a watch. So I'm coming and I'm saying, Adrosh achicha also, the Baal HaAveda comes and he requests of me, I should give him back the watch. He's going to give me this. He wants back the watch. So the Torah Baal Peh interprets Adrosh achicha. We should, Darshay Shaloy Hei Ramai. The Moitzi HaAveda should be Dorish. The Baal HaAveda, Pashab Shat in the Pasuk, Drosh Achicha also, the owner of the Aveda should request of the Moitzei HaAveda that, oh, you found the sweater. I lost the sweater. Please give me this sweater. That's the Pashab Shat. And Torah Shem Alpeh has an additional level of interpretation. Drosh Achicha also, Darshev Shalo Yehei Ramai, that the Moitzei HaAveda should interrogate the one who claims that it's his to make sure that he's telling the truth. The Gemara says, if it's a tzurva midirabbanon, if it's the tamachachim, the lam mishane bedibure, the tamachachim who never tells a lie, there are three things, there are three areas where the halacha recommends that one should tell a lie. The Gemara says, b'mesichte, if someone knows how to learn very well, he knows all the Gemaras, so he's allowed to tell a lie and say he doesn't know all the Gemaras. He's allowed to tone it down for the sake of humility. And Bepuria ubi Ushpiza, there are another two areas, there are three areas in an aloche where we say it's a recommended, it's a good idea not to tell the truth. Midas Ames is an important midah, but there are other midas that sometimes are more important than Midas Ames. Another is more important than Midas Ames, okay. So the Gemara says if you have a tzurva midirabbanan who absolutely never tells a lie, only in these areas where the aloche recommends it, then he doesn't have to give simon. If he recognizes the Aveda based on Tfilah sign, then you give back the Aveda to the Tzur Mad Rabban. So the Pnei Yeshua has a kasha, has a strong kasha. We have a rule, Bari Vishemra, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes Amorim, where the Bari Vishemra, Bari Yodif, La Bari Yodif. So we pass on the halacha, that Bari Vishemra, La Bari Yodif Lahotzi. The Gemara says, why? Because Amotzi Mechavera, all of Haraya. It means like this. I say that I lent you $1,000, and you never pay back the money. And you say you don't remember for sure. You remember we were once negotiating, we were discussing the possibility of me lending you, me borrowing money. But the fellow says I don't remember for sure that I borrowed the money. The mother claims he lent me the money for sure. He lent me $1,000, and I never paid it back. And I say, I remember we once discussed it, but I don't remember the besof, whether I actually borrowed the money or not. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So we pass on Allah, the Baruch Hashem, Allah Baruch Arif Lahotzi, because the loiva is muchzik on the $1,000. It's in his bank account now. He's not b'chir to the motzi mamon based on Baruch Hashem. But the Gemara says the reason why Baruch Hashem, Allah Baruch Arif Lahotzi, because I'm motzi mechavera, all of Harai. That's the Gemara Ksubis towards the end of the first pair. So the Pnei Yeshua says over there, by Hashavas Aveda, the one who picks up the Aveda knows for sure that it's not his. So he's not called a Muchzak on the Aveda. That's why Rov is no good Lahotzi Mammon from a Muchzak. But by Hashavas Aveda, Rov is good. If a person says he lost something, let's say he can't identify the thing that I found, he claims that he lost it, and he has a Rov that indicates that it's his. So the Gemara said the fair is that Rov is good by Hashavas Aveda. Why is Rov good? Because Rov is good Mammon also. Just Rov is no good Lahotzi Mammon from a Muchzak. Amotzi Machaber Levarai is a Gzeres HaKosov. So Rov is no good. So Baruch Hashem is also no good to be Motzi from a Muchzak. But the Motzi HaAveda admits himself that this Aveda is not his. He's not a Muchzak. No one's a Muchzak on the Aveda. So why shouldn't Baruch Hashem, or why do you say only a Tzuvim the Rabbana gets back the Aveda? Bitviasayan, you should give it back to an Amoritz also, give it back to anybody. Because the Amoritz looks at the Aveda, he has no simanim. He says, yeah, I recognize it. That looks exactly like my sweater. It looks exactly like my watch. I don't remember what the make of my watch is, but I can recognize it. If I'll see it, I'll recognize it. I know what it looks like. I don't remember the name of the company. I think it's Q&Q, but I'm not sure. But So why do you say that an Amharitz doesn't get back to Hashavas Aveda b'tviasayin? It should be Bari B'Shema, Bari Odeh, because it's not Lahotzi from a Muchzak. That's the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. So in the Sefer Yonah Selim, Yonah Karpalo was killed by the Nazis, and he learned by Rav Baruch Ber, and he learned by Rav Elvin Soloveitchik. He wrote a lot of the shiurim that they had in Piyashmo from Rav Elvin, were written Nichtavai de Yudkuf, that was Yonah Karpalov. And he wrote, after he was killed by the Nazis, he had a brother who lived in America who published some Divrei Torah that their brother had sent him by mail before he was killed. So that's called Yonah Selim, the muted Yonah. He was a big learned person, big Talmud Chacham. So he gives a teretz. He says, the Pnei Yeshua is right. Me'ikar Adin, even Amar, it should be Naman, because of Bari Vishem, or Bari Yadav, because it's not Lahotzi from a Muchzak. But that's exactly what we learned from the Gzeres HaKosov, Dorshei Yushalo, Adrosh HaChichos, Dorshei Yushalo, Yehei Ramai. The Torah requires that we should insist on Simonim. So if it's a Tzur from a Darabbanon, whose law Mishani B'Dibur never tells a lie, except for the three cases where it's recommended to lie, so then that's how you darshei shaloi hey rabbi. We know that he's not a rabbi. If it's an amor, it's not a tzur from Rabbanu who never tells a lie. So then the Torah requires you should ask for simonim. It's a gzeres hakasav. So the Yonah Selim quotes an Asibis. That what happens, I'm walking down the street, I'm about to pick up an Aveda. I see something, I don't know who it belongs to. I'm about to pick it up and some fellow with jeans and a long hair, but he has a yarmulke. So he said, hey, that's my Aveda. That's mine. Don't touch it. He doesn't seem to be a tzurva midirabban. It looks like a character. Looks like a character. But the Nesiva says, Kozman, that I didn't, the Moitzi Aveda didn't pick it up yet. He saw the Aveda, but he didn't pick it up yet. So then he shouldn't pick it up. The other fellow says it's his, he can keep it. Why is that so? So the Yonah Selim explains why, because really, Baruch Hashem or Bar Yodif. But the halacha says, Dorshei Shaloi Hei Ramai. But this din, Dorshei Shaloi Hei Ramai, only sets in after you become the Moitzi HaAveda. And Moitzi HaAveda is only once you picked it up. That's the first daf in Bava Metzia. It says, Metzosa da Asa Liyodei Mashma. If you saw the Aveda, you didn't pick it up yet, you're not yet called the Moitzi HaAveda. But after you pick it up, then you are the Moitzi HaAveda. Then this din sets in. But Kozman, you didn't pick it up. Then you do follow the Tnei Yeshua. Then he's right, Taka. Bari Vishema, Bari Odif, because it's not Lahotzi. Torah has a lot of dinim in Parshas Kisaitza. Then you have the din of Shiluah HaKan, the last perek in Maseches Chulin, this perek Shiluah HaKan. The Minchas Chinuch points out on the mitzvah Shiluah HaKan on this week's Sedra that there seem to be contradictory mashmois and from different gemaras in the perek whether the mitzvah Shiluah HaKan only applies if the person is interested in taking the traveler on the highway. If the fellow is interested in taking the afrechim or the beitzim for himself, what if he doesn't want the whole thing? He doesn't want the mother, he doesn't want the kan, doesn't want the afrechim and the beitzim, just wants to go travel on his way. He doesn't want to waste time. So there seem to be contradictory mashmoisin from the Gemara, whether the mitzvah shiloh hakan still applies or not. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote in Yeridah, when they quote talk about Shiluah HaKan, so the Pischa Tshuva quotes from the Zohar, that the Zohar says that the mitzvah Shiluah HaKan is to demonstrate achzorius on the bird. I'm chasing the mother away from her Efrechim. That's an act of achzorius, so that Shari Rachmim should be opened up in heaven for this mother bird. And once the Shari Rachmim are opened up in heaven, then it opens up for everybody. But it's to demonstrate achzorius. So even if you're not interested, according to the Zohar, that's what they say, even if you're not interested in taking the Efrachim or the Beitzim, you still have a mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. But that's a big machlokes and achreinim, whether that is so. The very end of Chulin, the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanraim regarding Shiloh HaKan, that there is an institution, the Torah says, Torah says that Vayoyin Bin Hakos HaRosha, the mitzvah of Lasachsim, it's in the end of today's Sedra. Lasachsim Shabbadisha follows right after the parsha that says Vayoyin Bin Hakos HaRosha, that in Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos and in Chumash Dvarim, in Mishnah Torah, we darshan smuchim. Kolotar Kula, the other four Chumashim, only darshan Hekesh. Hekesh is if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between them. But if you have two dinim written, two adjacent psukim, that's smuchim. Sankala tarkula, basically, we don't darshan smuchim. Only a Mishnah Torah, and the Gemara gives a whole explanation why that should be so. So there are many, many famous dinim that are based on smuchim. So this is one of them. The how do you know who gets malchus? V'hayon bin hakos ha-rasha. V'yishivos ha-rasha. V'hayon bin hakos ha-rasha. Anyone who's a rasha, anyone who's a Rasha deserves Malkus. So the Gemara says, only Dumi Delab Dachasima. One only gets Malkus if he violates an Aver. That's similar to Losachsim Shor Bedisha. So what does it mean similar? So first of all, it has to be written in Chumash. Sometimes you have a din that's only known to Halach and Moshe Misinai. It's not even written in the Chumash. And then it's right off the bat. It's not Dumi Delab Dachasima. Even if it is written in Chumash, but it's a lav haba mechlal asei, so that's not similar to lo sachsam shabedisha. It has to say either lo or hisham ben vial. One of those five lishan is either lo or hisham ben vial. Then it's dumi de lav de chasim. Then it has to be not only similar in the way it's written, it has to be similar, it has to be similar in the nature of the avera. So there's a machlokes satanoim and a machlokes samaram. We pass on aloch alab sheim bo maise, ain't loikim alof. You only get malchus if the maise avera is similar to the Sachs Mishabadish, Alab Sheyesh Bamais. And then more exceptions, more rules, similar to the Sachs Mishabadish. And another one is, it should be Alab Sheloy Nitak Le'ese. If you have Shiluach HaKan, if the person violated the Lasika Chaim Alabanim, and if he violated Lasika Chaim Alabanim, if he took the aim with the Banim, then we say Shalech Tishalach, he should send away Shalech Tishalach HaSeim afterwards. So that's called Alab Anitak Le'ese. So Alab Anitak Le'ese is ain loikim alav. So that's what, that's the very end, the last daf in Chulin, that the Shiloh HaKan is alav and nitak le'ese, and that's one of the guiding principles in Malkus. In Malkus, there's a klal, who gets Malkus? Whoever violates an aver, that's similar to the Sachs Mishar B'dishai. That's why the Rambam's opinion is The Bahag's opinion is that we don't have a klal who gets Misa. Chal Shabbos gets Misa, Ebed Abed Azareh, Boal Eish Hashish. We don't have a Tzad HaShavah. We don't have a klal. So that's why the Shita of the Bahag is that every time there's a Chiyav Misa, it counts as another mitzvah saseh. there's a lois essay not to be machal Shabbos. Then there's an essay to give skila to the one's machal Shabbos. There's a lois essay not to worship Abed Zara. Then there's a mitzvah essay to give skila to the one who worships Abed Zara. There's a lois essay not to murder. Then there's a mitzvah essay to give the sayef to the one who murders. There's a lois essay not to be boal isha bita. Then there's a mitzvah essay to give sreifa. Every time there's a chiyuv misa, it counts as a separate mitzvah. And so the Rama makes fun of the Bahagi. He says, why did they're from the Shin Samachay Lavim, 365 Lavim. So the Rambam lists off, I think, 207, Azar, 207 get Malkus. From the 365 Lavim, 207 get Malkus. So the Rambam asks on the Bahag, how come you don't count it as 207 mitzvahs to give Malkus to this one, to give Malkus to that one, to give Malkus to the other one? Just like the Bahag counted each time you give Einish Misa, he counted as a separate mitzvah essay. So each time you give Malkus, should be counted as a separate mitzvah essay. So the Ramban comes in the Sefer Mitzvahs to defend the Bahag. So he says, that's not a kasha. And Malkus, there's one cloud that covers all the averis. Whenever one violates an aver that's similar to Lesach Shor B'Disha, that's his kasha on the two psukim. So then it's one cloud that they get Malkus. The Bahag says, each person is Chayav Misa, it's a separate mitzvah saseh. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam thinks that all the people, there's one mitzvah to give skila to those that deserve skila, and sreifa and herring and chenek. There are four mitzvahs saseh. Each form of misa is one mitzvah saseh to give misa. The Ramban thinks that the Ramban defended the Bahag, but he personally thinks that the Rambam is more correct than the Bahag, and he thinks even more than the Rambam. He says a few times, it says in the Chumash of the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha, in connection with Misa. So the Ramban says, basically, it's one big mitzvah to give Misa to all, just like it's one mitzvah to give Malkus to all those who are Chai Malkus, there's one mitzvah of the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha to give Misa to all those who deserve Misa. And he quotes a Gemara, the first daf in Perek Shiluach HaKan, I think, first daf quotes that pasuk of the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha. So he says, the Gemara says that that's the mitzvah saseh. So the Megillah Esther always comes to defend the Rambam and the comments of the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah. So he says, that Gemara is a different thing. The Gemara there says, if you have, let's say, a Shor Shahariga Sa'odam, so there's a din, Bezdin should give the death penalty, Shor HaNiska, Bezdin should give Skila. But then there's a din, anyone who knows which Shor, witnesses know which Shor was Hariga Sa'odam, so that's a mitzvah, the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha. It's a mitzvah that we should step up and bring the shor to Bezdin, or bring the person, let's say a person did an aver. So it's a mitzvah that we should step up and testify in court in front of the Bezdin that they should give the death penalty. So he said, that's not the actual death penalty itself. The Rambam is right, that there are four mitzvahs, Skila, Sreifa, Herik, Chenek. And that Gemara that says on the first daf in Shiluah HaKan, the last parak in Chulin, that there's a mitzvah of the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha, that's not the mitzvah of the Bezdin giving the Mises Bezdin, that's a mitzvah on the witnesses that they should step up and testify in court. That's talk of what the Gemara is talking about there, but then it poses a problem. The Rambam didn't count that mitzvah. The Rambam, in addition to counting the four mitzvahs of Skila, Sreifa, Herig, V'Chenek, should have also counted the mitzvah of the Yatar Ram Yikirbecha. The way the Megillah says to explain that the witnesses should step up and bring the person to justice, or bring the behemoth to court to give the death penalty. So that is a question in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Torah has the next parsha, Shlishi. If you build a house that you live in. Yes.
So what are we passing and end with Shiluach HaKan? Is it considered a Lavanita Klasa?
Yes, we pass from Shluch HaKan is not loike, because a lava nita klesa, and then there's a machloik, so biechen reish lokish. In the end of Makis, a lava nita klesa sometimes does get Malkus. At what point does he get Malkus? Is it if lo bitlo, the witnesses tell the fellow, you have to send shalech to shalach ha-sa'im, and if you don't send the aim now, right away, we're going to bring it to Des, and we're going to give you Malkus. And you say, if lo kimo, he gets Malkus. But he say, no, If only if bitla be a dime. Is it kima v'lo kima? Is it bitla v'lo bitla? So that's a big machlekes abyechem eshlokesh. And the Gemara says it depends on whether hasra safik shmo hasra. And there are two girsas in the Gemara. Which way does it depend? Which way does Rabbi Yechon hold? We pass like Rabbi Yechon. So which way does Rabbi Yechon hold? That leads you to say hasra safik is good and not good. That's a famous sugya in the Gemara. Yeah, we have a din of makeh. It's interesting. It says, see, some makeh li gag echo, to you a gag. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch, this is the very end of Chosh Mishpat, the last page in Chosh Mishpat. You have to have a makeh. L'sasim dam v'esecha. So it says, if you rent a house, the chiyuv makeh is only midi rabbanan. Just like it says, achsavta mam zuz is beisecha, obishar echa. And we assume that a rented house is only chayv mezuzah midi rabbanan. So a rented house is only chayv makeh midi rabbanan. It's very difficult to understand why. It says, if the fellow's going to fall off the roof and get killed, he'll be dead men on Torah. He won't be dead midi rabbanan. So why is a chiyuv makeh only midi rabbanan? That's a problem, but that's what the Pischa Tshuva quotes like that. The Chiyuv Makeh, just like Chzav Taman says, Beis Echa, the Chof shows Bailus, the house has to belong to me. So Gag Echa means that if it's a rented house, the Chiyuv Makeh is only Midi Rabban. It's a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush. Then the Torah has the famous din. You're not permitted to plant Kiloi HaKerem. Kiloi Zeraim, you're not allowed to plant. Is the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos whether that's an isa deraisa nisa derabbanan? Rashi holds kiloi zroim is only midi rabbanan, but Tosfos holds that it's not true. Kiloi zroim is an isa deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Chutz Lord they were never goyzer. So according to Rashi, they were never goyzer kiloi zroim in Chutz Lord because in Eretz Yisrael proper it's only midi rabbanan. So that would be a gzeira legzeira, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that they weren't goyzer. Kiloi Zeraim Mechutz Loretz, because it's not as chomer as Kiloi HaKerem. Kiloi HaKerem is not only also to plant, it's also Bahano B'di'eved. That's the Pasuk in today's Sedra. Pen Tigdash Amalei HaZeresh HaTizra. It'll become also Bahano. Tigdash means Tukaresh. It becomes also Bahano and Stone Srefa. So Kiloi Zeraim is also to plant, but B'di'eved, if you planted it, it'll be Muta Bachila. Same thing, Hakavas Ilanis. If you graft a branch from one tree on another and you bring about blended fruits, apricots and what, I don't know, blended fruits that are hybrid of different fruits, it's b'diyabit, it's mutabachila, but it's also lachatchila to do it. It's also to do the Hakavas Ilanis. So the Gemara says that since Kloy Zeraim and not his chomer, is Kloy HaKerem, they were only machmer chutz lords and kloy akem, not on kloy Zeraim. Why not? If it's an avera, they should make a gzera. According to Rashi, we understand better because kloy Zeraim in Eretz itself is only midi rabbanan, so they didn't have to be machmer chutz lords. But that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara gives a different reason. The Gemara doesn't say because in Eretz itself is only midi rabbanan. The Gemara says because in Eretz itself, and he said kal, it's not as chomer as kloy hakerem. Like kloy hakerem, I rosam midi rabbanan, even chutz lords all over the world. The last Mishnah in Tmura lists off, gives you a full list of all the Yisuri Hanoam and divide them into two categories. Some of them are Nisrafim, some of them are Nigbarim. So which are Nisrafim? So it says, Kloy HaKerem, because Bidarshan Pentigdash, Pentukadesh. If you let the Kloy HaKerem grow, then it's Tukadesh, you have to burn it. Then somehow or another, Rashi and Taisa said, there's some kind of a pasuk somewhere, we don't know where it is. Some kind of a drasha from a pasuk that connects Orlo with Kloy HaKerem. Orlo means if you plant the tree, so the first 3 years of peris that grow on the tree are Rosa Rahanoa. So just like Kloy HaKerem is Ton Srefa, so Orlo is also Ton Srefa. Some kind of the Afuse Rashi and Tez don't know what it is. So those are the Nisrafim. There are the Nisrafim also, Pigal Nasatam is Nisrafim. And then the other Yisri Hanoa, Anigbarim, you have to dispose of them, but they're not Ton Srefa. You hear the Minchas Chinuch has a kash on the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch writes as if the din of Hosef Masayim is a din deraisa. Hosef Masayim means, let's say, you have grapes growing on one side of the fence and wheat growing on the other side of the fence, and the fence falls down. And they're going to continue to grow. Everything's going to, and there's no harchoke. If you have a fence, then you don't need a harchoke. But if there's no fence, even though if there is a fence, and you can plant up until the fence, even though the fence is not mapsik below the ground, the fence only above the ground, and the yonik from each other below the ground doesn't matter. As long as that fence is mutam, when the fence falls down, so whatever grows becomes kaloi hakerem. So if it's hosif masayim, let's say it's possible that the grapes are hosif masayim and the grain is not, or the grain is hosif masayim, the grapes are not. So the one that grew 1/200th more than it was before, so whatever grows after the fence falls down becomes kaloi hakerem. And kaloi hakerem is bottle echad masayim. If you have 200 units of heter against the 1 unit of iser, then it'll be bottle. But if you only have 199 units of heter against it, hos masayim means you no longer have 200 units against what grew after the fence fell down. You only have 199 units against it. So then it's no longer bottle. So the pashtus is, Tosis points out that the din that you need mayo to be mevatel truma is a gemara that's only midrabbanan. Even though the sifrei darshins it from a pasuk in the end of parshas Korach. So Tosis shows from the Gemara it's only an asmachta. And the whole din that you need masayim by olah kloy kerem is based on the fact that you need mayo by truma. So truma is only asabachil and mutabano, you need mayo. So kloy kerem and olah, which is not only asabachil, asabano, so you need masayim. So if mayo is only midirabbanim, masayim is only midirabbanim. So how can that semin chasin et kasha? So how can the Sefer Chinuch write Hosef Masayim is a din deraisa? It's clearly only a din deraisa, and a Torah will only be osir if the grapes are now twice as big as they were before the fence fell down. Twice as big, so it grew, it's machza machza. You no longer have a rough heter against the yisa. It's machza machza. The grapes are twice as big. So half is kalai hakerim and half is not kalai hakerim. But if it's only Hosef Masayim, then a Torah is still bottled because you have a rough heter against the miyot of yisa over here. That's the Minhas Chinus Kasha. So there's a very good piece in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel by Yecheskel Abramsky on Tosefta, on the Tosefta in Klayim. He shows from the Sefer Yireim by Rav Lezer Minitz, the Hosu Masayim is Halacha Moshe Mesinitz Hashir Deraisa in Malaya, Pentigdush HaMalaya Zera Shatizra. It's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The din that Klayim Kloy Hakerem is Bat Lech and Masayim, that's only by the Rabban, but the din of Hosu Masayim is a Shir and Malaya. It's a very good piece. Next time you come across a Gemara Hosu Masayim, I recommend you should look up that Chazon Yecheskel. Then we have a lot of dinim, and there are many, many dinim. You don't even realize how many. The many dinim that are based on Smuchim and Mishnah Torah, two psukim, one next to the other. Here's another one. The Torah says, "Lo silba shatan semra pishtim yachtov pasi yudbeis gedilon ta'asa l'cho." You should put tzitzit. So the Gemara learns that from this michas apsukim that a beged is chayv in tzitzis if it's semra or pishtim, it's chayv in tzitzis. If it's silk or cotton, then it's a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch whether the chayv tzitzis is the rice of the rabbanim. But for sure, if it's beged semra, beged pishtim, linen or wool, then for sure it's chayv min hatorah. Because stam beged or amamator is either tzemer or pishtim. Now the chutim of tchelas can be whatever the material of the beged is. You can make, let's say you have a beged of pishtim, linen, so you can have linen strings. But the chute tchelas have to be dafke wool. Chute tchelas have to be wool. So if you have a beged of pishtim and you put in tzitzis, the chute tchelas have to be dyed a specific color of the from the dye from the chalazim, but it has to be also a specific material. The Gemara said beferish, the chut etcheles have to be from tzemer. So if you're going to tie chut, either one chut or two chut, and whatever, you're going to tie a chut shel tzemer with tcheles and a beged shel bishtim, that's going to be klaim deraisa. And nonetheless, the Torah tells us that it's mutter. That's what the smichas ha-psukim tells us. Now from this pasuk, we extrapolate to kol ha-Torah kula that it's a din of esed de-chalois. That's the Gemara, the beginning of Yivamis. Beginning of Yivamis, Gemara has a whole sugya. But that's a day chaloi sasei. Yes.
So would Rabbi say that the tcha nowadays that we find would be matched, matched shatnez also?
If you're vaday, if you know for sure that this is the chelus, then it would be mutter, but we're not so sure. We're not so sure that that it's authentic chelus.
So are we saying most people who are doing it b'tarat suffik and therefore would not rely on it to be matir?
I think so. I think that is correct. We do b'tarat suffik. I don't think it's b'tarat vaday.
I see.
Yes. Then we
have, and the same thing also for let's say for Hotzal, it'd be the same thing also. Those who wouldn't carry it those who don't go out with their sisters out usually without tchelis. It's like the, I think the brisker chassidim, they wouldn't if assuming someone holds assumes like them. So would they also they wouldn't hold tchelis to the extent that there would be matir to take out to go out talis also.
I'm not familiar with the brisker. I don't know exactly what the chumrah is based on. You have to find out what is the chumrah based on. The Maharam Rutenberg had a chumrah. That's what the Talmidim quote. And it's even as a tshuva in the Meshav Dover that the different Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg recorded that he wouldn't walk chutz la'erev with a beged shel tzitzis. Why? The different Talmidim wrote different reasons. So some Talmidim wrote that he was afraid maybe the chutim would rip and then it would be an iser haitzor. Maybe the chutim will rip and it'll be possible at tzitzis, then the strings will be an iser haitzor. Kozman, the strings are mishamish to fulfill a mitzvah, then it's not haitzor, then it's mechubel lebegit kebegit dami, because you're kind of the mitzvah with it. But if the strings rip in such a way that tzitzis is possible, then it's an iser haitzor. Another Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg said that the reason why he wouldn't walk chutz le'erev with the beged shel tzitzis, not because he was afraid the strings are going to rip, but rather because he was choshish with the sheet of the Balamor. Balamor in Perek Lamim Adlikin, on the bottom of the page of the Rif, Balamor says a din is like Rebbe, that tcheles ma'keves ha'salavon. So if you don't have chut shel tcheles, you're not yotze any mitzvah at all, so the strings will be amasui. Strings themselves will be amasui. But I don't know, the Briska have a different chumra. It's neither of these considerations. They have a different chumra.
It's not because of the Balmor. It's not because of the Balmor.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I thought it was.
They have a different twist. I'm not sure.
May I ask about Shavas Aveda?
Yes, sure.
Shem Aveda is a Shem Achinu, a Shem Asachar. Is that only if he makes a Kenyan? You don't need a Kenyan for you.
When he picks up the Aveda, the Torah makes him into a Shem Achinim or a Shem Asachar. That's a Machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, where the Shem Aveda becomes a Shem Achinim or a Shem Asachar. But the Torah makes him into the Shem Aveda. Yeah, only after he picks it up. Before he picks it up, he's not yet the Moitzei HaAveda. Yeah. I think that is correct. Yes. Yeah, we wish Mazel Tov to those who are getting married this week. And the Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Yishisha. And the Gemara learns that kicha kicha mistei Ephron. Just like it says when Avram Avinu, when Sarah passed away, Avram Avinu bought a very expensive cemetery plot, the Moros HaMachpelah, to bury her. So it says there, Vayikach is kolartza miyod. So he learned kicha kicha mistei Ephron, that kiddushei kesef is the way to go. The Rambam writes that kiddushei shtar is based on Torah Shevichsav, and kiddushei kesef is Torah Shebalpeh. And then the Rambam says, "Kvandoga kol Yisrael the kaddish bekesef." What it means, kol Yisrael means the Orthodox Jews have the practice that they do kiddushei kesef, because in the days of the Rambam, he had an asik with the karoim, the karaites. There are three different groups of karoim. They were each group has different shtick, what they don't believe in. So there are African karoim and Asian karoim and European karoim. Until the war, there was after the war also there were the karoim. There was a village in Poland that was inhabited by Karoim. When the Nazis came to kill all the Jews, so they said that they're Karoim, they're not descendants from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, so they didn't kill them. And Eretz Yisrael now, they're blessed with all of the Karoim from all Arba Kamzaris, the African, the Asian, and the European ones. So one of the things that they all have in common is none of them believe in Kiddushei Kesef. Because Kiddushei Kesef is only learned that for this Yafusa, we usually assume it's a Gzera Shava. They were taught there in the beginning of Kiddushin, thinks it's not a Gzera Shava, give me Milsa Biyama, whatever it is. But it's a drasha of the Torah Shebalpeh, that you can do Kiddushei Kesef. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has an essay, and I think it's in Choreif, collection of essays, where he writes that a lot of the maskilim and a lot of the apikusim would make fun of the Gemara, that the Gemara treats marrying, getting married, like buying real estate. That just like Avraham Avinu bought real estate, so too he, one buys a wife, ki kachishishi, you buy a wife like you buy real estate, you can do whatever you want with the real estate, you can treat the wife however you want. So this is the nekfon of the Gemara. This is the rabbi's concept. This is the rabbi's understanding of marriage. So Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch says, no, that's not what they meant. There's a Taz, and Simakuf Tzadik and Chosh and Mishpat. There's a machlokes, this ma in the Taz. If you buy karka de kesef, how does kinyan kesef work? So this ma is of the opinion, karka's nickname is because it means if you pay nehamekach, you pay the value of the karka, then you own that car, and the other fellow is selling it, then you acquire ownership of the karka. Aye, but the Mishnah says karka is nicknames by pruta, which karka is worth a pruta. So the Sma says the karka is only nicknames by pruta if that's the whole value of the karka, or he pays a pruta and the rest is zekit by milva. So he does know the rest by Torah to Meha Mekach. It's considered as if the Meha Mekach is paid up, and the rest is a chov stam. But if he gives a down payment, he gives a pruta, and then he still owes another $500,000, then this ma says the karka is not nicknamed the pruta. And the Taz and Chosh Mishpat there, Semekub Tzadik, disagrees with the sma, and he says, no, it's not the meha mekach, because the Gemara the Harai, the Gemara learns Akicha, Akicha Mistei Ephron, that just like one is kind of karka bekesef, one is bekadosh and nisha bekesef. So what do you mean? And the Kiddush HaKesef has to be a Shaber Pruta. So what do you mean? The wife is worth a Pruta. That's the value of the wife. She's worth a Pruta. Either she's priceless or worthless. But she's not worth a Pruta. That doesn't make any sense. So he says, just like by Kiddush HaKesef, it's Kesef Kinyan. It's not Kesef the Maypi Ron. It's Kesef Kinyan. It's a formality. So too by Kinyan Karka, it's also Kesef Kinyan. It's not Kesef P. Ron. So why did the rabbis learn that from Avraham Avinu? So the rabbis meant to imply that we should respect our wives and spend money on our wives the same way Avraham Avinu did. Even he had such a love for his wife, sorry, even after she passed away, he respected her so much that he spent a fortune money, Arba Me'er Shekel Kesef Avdei La'Socher, to buy such an expensive cemetery plot to bury his wife. So the rabbis learned that kicha kicha mstei Ephron, then when we get married, we should treat our wives like Avraham Avinu treated his wife. A lot of love and a lot of respect. Yeah. That's kicha kicha. That's an important din. We have a lot of dinim in the parsha. You have the din of patsua dako. The patsua dako and says in all the chamashim that in Sifrei Torah of Ashkenazim, the word dako, patsua dako, is spelled with an aleph. And the Sephardim have it spelled with a hey. So the Rambam says that it's a fetor shechas or isachas is psula. And the Gemara never says that. That says in the Zohar. But the Rambam quotes that. It's a fetor shechas or isachas is psula. So the Minchas Chinuch raises the question. If Patsua Daka is a question, half of the Sefer Torah in the world are Ashkenazim, half on Sephardim, maybe the more Sephardim than Ashkenazim. So half of them spell the word Daka with a hey, half spell with an aleph. So half of the Sefer Torah in the world are puzzle. So how can anybody learn Kriya Satori with a bracha? It's a Sufik bracha's local. The Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah, you can only learn Kriya Satori, can only fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Satori from a kosher Sefer Torah. That is a problem. So the Minchas Chinuch gives an answer. Minchas Chinuch gives an answer. That's under the circumstance. That's the Shach Zara talks about it, but we accept the answer of Minchas Chinuch. The word patsua daka is a correct spelling. Daka with a A is Hebrew, daka with an aleph is Aramaic. They're both correct spellings. They're both found in a dictionary. One will be found in an Aramaic dictionary. Every so often you have a word in Chumash that is Aramaic. So the spelling is correct according to the dictionary. It's only a question according to the Masorah, which is the correct spelling according to the Masorah. So the Minchas Chinuch comes up at Chiddush. If you have a mistake, if you have a Sefer Torah, there's a mistake on one letter, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. Sefer Torah Shechas Reisachas. Let's say you have Noach. Noach is spelled Nun Chof, or Noach with a long Nun instead of a small Nun. That's a mistake. But if you have Patsua Daka, that is a 50-50 chance it's a mistake according to the Masorah. What should the text read? But it's not a mistake in spelling. Not a spelling mistake. Let's say you have a word Aharon. So in modern Hebrew, in the newspapers, in Israeli news, they would spell Aharon. They spell everything Mole, because they're known to Kudus. So they would put in a Vav. And say the Torah Aharon is always spelled without a Vav. So if you have Aharon is spelled with a Vav, so the Minchas Chinuch thinks that one pasul, it's a correct spelling, but it's not correct according to the Masorah. So you should really correct it at the earliest available opportunity. But he thinks that wouldn't possible a Sefer Torah. He thinks the only time it will possible a Sefer Torah is if it's a Kri and a Ksiv. And the Gemara says in the Dorm that Kri and Ksiv is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's supposed to be like that. Ksiv is supposed to be one way. Kri is supposed to be differently. So then if you have a Kri and Ksiv and the Sefer wrote the Ksiv, according to what the Kri is supposed to be, so that'll possibly even be the edit. That's what the Halacha L'moshe M'sinai of the Kri and Ksiv is all about. But if it's not going to be, if it's not a Kri and Ksiv, it's just that you spell the word not in accordance with the Masorah spelling, but it is a correct spelling according to the dictionary, so then the Minhas Chinuch thinks that it would be Kosh.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe said that the din of Chaser Ot Achad is not in Bali or Yerushalmi, that it's Pasul?
I don't think it's in the Gemara. I think they say it's from the Zohar.
Wow, so how did the Rambam know that?
The Gemara says, if it's Chaser Yeriya Achas in Kurimba, if it's Chaser Yeriya, it really means from one of the stitches to the stitches. Usually has a few columns in the Yeriya. But it never says that the Chuvasari Dva says the Bali Ataisus swallow what it says in the Gemara. Even if Sefer Torah is possible, but it's missing less than Yiri Achas, you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from it. And the Rambam holds Sefer Torah Shachas or Isachas. I think the Ramban in the Hakdomah, his commentary on Chumash, quotes that passage from the Zohar. Ramban often quotes things from the Zohar.
It's interesting because the Rambam also holds that the person can make a bracha on a Sefer Torah that is possible also, even though.
No, the Rambam in the Tshuva writes like that, but in the Mishnah Torah, he backed out from that. That's what the case in Mishnah and Rambam, the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, quotes the Tshuva HaRashba, that the Rashba realized that there's a contradiction, that the Rambam in earlier years wrote a Tshuva that the Minig was an Orei Svara that they learned from Apostle Sefer Torah. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, which was written later, backed out. So b'di'evit, we rely on the Tshuvas Rambam. Let's say the Balkari reads half of the Sedra and he's in the middle of a Revi, Chamishi, he finds a mistake. So the Beis Yosef quotes his Rebbe, the Mari Bei Rav, that b'di'evit, whatever you learned already, you don't have to learn over again. We rely on the Tshuvas Rambam b'di'evit. So we don't have to learn over what we learned already.
But we follow Mishnah Torah.
Yeah, l'chatchila, you don't learn unless you have a kosher Sefer Torah. So that's the Menchas Chinuch's question. So why do we lane with a bracha? All the Sefer Torah 50-50 Sofik Kosher Sofik Pasul because of the spelling of Patsua Daka. Yeah. The Mishnah Brewer recommends that if you, let's say, you lane to the middle of Revi, then you find a mistake. So you stop, you put away the Pasul of Sefer Torah, take out a Kosher Sefer Torah. So if it's possible to squeeze in seven aliyahs from there to the end, you should do that. That's what the Mishnah Brewer recommends. Rabbi Soloveitchik recommended that this whole kula of the Mari Bei Rav is a whopper of a kula based on the Tshuvas HaRambam, which the Rambam backed out from. So he recommended that if the Balabatim won't fire the rabbi, if he can get away with it, they should really start learning all over again from the new Sefer Torah, start from the beginning, not to rely by the Evid even on the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Rambam, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to say, Rav Soloveitchik's father used to say, whenever you have a machlokes, the Rambam and other Rishonim, so you always try to explain why the Rambam holds like this, why the Rashba holds like that. Sometimes you have a steer between the Rambam and the Tshuvas, and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam, before he changed his mind, was also a Rishon. So you have to spend time to understand what the Rambam said before he backed out. He was a Rishon then also. So the Rambam, before he backed out, held that you can learn from Apostle Sefer Torah. And the Rambam, after he backed out, wrote the Mishnah Torah later, and he says you cannot learn from Apostle Sefer Torah.
Are the Ramban quotes the Zohar? The Ramban quotes the Zohar, the Rebbe? Yeah. Does everybody know where the Ramban is, if I just, in Parshas?
I think it's in the Hakdamah to his commentary on Chumash.
Okay.
I think so. The Torah has many, many dinim here. One of the many dinim is Amon and Moav. And not they can convert, but if they convert, they're not permitted to marry a Jewish girl. They can marry Gerim, because Kal Gerim lo yikri kohol. The din is Leov lehem the Kal Hashem. They're not allowed to marry a Jewish person who's kohol. The Gerim are not kohol, so the Amon and Moav can marry a Gioris. Yeah. What if a woman from Amon and Moav converts? So Rus HaMoavia converted and she married a Jewish man. And Namu HaMoinis also married Shlomo HaMelech. So how come the din of Amon and Moav doesn't apply to women? So the Gemara says, because here Dashin and Taima Dikra, the Pasuk gives you the reason why you're not allowed to marry them. Advar Shalakid Meschem Alechem V'Amayim. The Gemara says, Ish Darka L'Kadim, Isha Ein Darka L'Kadim, because cults the Bas Melach Pnima. The women of Amon Moav are not expected to be Mekadim. Ashasoch Alecha as Bilam Ben Bior. Also, the men of Amon Moav did that. The women didn't do that. So they, because the Torah writes the reason, usually we say Lo Dashin and Taima Dikra, you don't say that the reason regulates the application of the mitzvah, whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. We don't say that. We say Lo Dashin and Taima Dikra. But over here we do, because here the Pasuk itself writes the reason. That's the Gemara in the second Perek in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, whenever the Torah writes the reason next to the mitzvah, so then, even a Chachamim Rab Shimon would hold Dashin and Taima Dikra. It's a very long parsha, and many more dinim, important dinim, a lot of important dinim. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and those who happen to be getting this married this week, we'll talk on your forthcoming marriage. Ki kach ish isha. Okay.
Abby, can I ask a quick Shiloh?
Sure.
So this is the situation. Reuven is in college, and he needs to buy a college book, and someone sent him a free PDF. It's the entire book, word for word, word for word. The only thing is that there's a copyright on the second page. What's the status of this PDF? What does Reuven have to do to maybe the owner of, the book? And what's the status of this PDF?
It's probably a Beisa. It's probably Geneva. Probably not allowed to use it. If they have more books, if they have more copies of the book available, then the one who put out the book and has the copyright is entitled to make money on the work that he did. If he sold out and he doesn't have any more available, so he has no right to say gam li gam loch lo yeah.
Right.
But if he has more copies available, it costs whatever, $45, so he's entitled to make money on his work.
Can I have just two more questions? I'm sorry. Rebbe during the year said that Lefila Megillas Esther is an issue on the Rambam. How come he doesn't include V'yarta Yisrael Mikirbecha?
Right.
Doesn't the Rambam count V'nefesh Ki Sechata V'shama Kol Olav Hu Eid Ora O Yada Im Lo Yagiv V'nas Abono? Shouldn't that encompass, V'yarta Hara Mikirbecha?
I think here the mitzvah is to bring him to court. There it's a mitzvah to go testify. The Bezin puts an advertisement in the newspaper. We heard that someone is a murderer. Who can come and testify? So then the din says, "Im lo yagid, you're mechuyev to testify." But here, I'm mechuyev to bring the horse to Bezin, to bring the person. I'm not allowed to hide him out. I have to go help the Bezin find him.
Okay. And the last question is that in Rebbe's Hakdama to Meseches Pesachim, Rebbe mentioned Ushmartem es Mitzvosai, that the Rabbanon potentially only have an authority to make zeros regarding Yisurim, not necessarily Mitzvos Asay.
Right.
Doesn't the first Mishnah and Brachos say that, Ad Chatzos is Yekdei L'Harchak Adam Min HaAveira, Lagabi Kriyishma, which is a Mitzvos Asay?
That's a very strong kasha. Very strong kasha. The Prima Godin works on that a lot. He's the one who came up with this idea that Ushmartam is Mishmarti is only if Harchoket to Aloy Sese, because Yishama Pen V'Yal is Aloy Sese. So he works on that kasha a lot. But he shows from the Gemara, Menachos, from the Gemara, in the end of Psochem, that you have no right to make a Gzera de Rabbanon if you're just afraid that someone's going to be mevatel a mitzvah. You only make a gzera, a harchok, if someone's going to possibly violate an avera. So he works on that kasha. Good kasha. It's a good teretz. Okay. You look up the Prima Gadim, he has a good teretz.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good. Okay. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, Ari.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Rabbi. Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Rabbi, still there?